from the heartland of America and the gateway to the West. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. A little bit later this hour, I'll have an update on Oscar, the son of Satan, for you. And next hour, investigative mythologist William Henry joins us. Then later on, we'll also be joined by historian Lawrence Gardner as we talk about a lot of old mysteries here on Coast to Coast AM. Some breaking stories, of course. In the former Soviet Georgia, officials believe a grenade was thrown at the stage where President Bush was giving a speech Tuesday, prompting the U.S. Secret Service to investigate what could have been a deadly security breach. The Secret Service learned of the possible grenade after Bush left the former Soviet Republic on Tuesday. Georgian authorities said a device was thrown within 100 feet of the stage before knocking against a spectator and falling to the ground. The report stated that a Georgian security officer picked up the device and removed it from the area. The Secret Service has not seen the device as of late Tuesday afternoon. Officials from President Mikhail Shchusev's office were not immediately available to talk about the situation in Georgia. Bush returned to the United States Tuesday after a four-country trip that included stops in Russia, Latvia, and the Netherlands. He was the first American president to visit Georgia. That sad story we continue to follow about the tragic stabbing deaths of two young girls. The ex-con now, ex-con father of a little girl who was beaten and stabbed to death with her best friend on Mother's Day, has been arrested on murder charges. Jerry Hobbs, who has an extensive criminal history and was released from a Texas jail just last month, has now been accused of stabbing his daughter, 8-year-old Laura Hobbs, and her 9-year-old schoolmate, Crystal Tobias, repeatedly in the neck. Hobbs had led police to the bodies just off a wooden bike path early on Monday, claiming that he spotted them while searching for his daughter. He's 34 years old. Both girls had been beaten and stabbed repeatedly and left to die in the woods. Hobbs has had an extensive criminal history dating back to 1990 in Texas, including prior arrests for assault and resisting arrest. Before being released in April, he had served 2 years in a Texas prison for chasing neighbors with a chainsaw during an argument with Laura's mother. No one was hurt in that incident, and someone subdued Hobbs by hitting him in the back of the head with a shovel. The Bush administration says that it would start paying hospitals and doctors in the United States for providing emergency care to illegal immigrants. This following our show last night with our dear friend, Mr. Wooldridge, Frosty Wooldridge, about illegal immigrants. The money totaling $1 billion will be available for services provided from right now through September of 2008. Congress provided the money as part of the 2003 law that expanded Medicare to cover prescription drugs, but the new payments have really nothing to do with the Medicare program. Members of Congress from border states had sought the money. They said treatment of illegal immigrants imposed a huge financial burden on many hospitals there, which are required to provide emergency care to patients who need it, regardless of their immigration status or ability to pay. The Marine Corps is recalling 5,277 combat vests issued to troops in Afghanistan after a newspaper article raised concerns that they might not be able to stop a bullet. The Marines said in a statement they are recalling the vests to alleviate any doubts caused by a Marine Corps Times article, but service officials insisted they do not believe the vests are faulty. The armor in question is called the Outer Tactical Vest, and it's part of the Interceptor Body Armor package issued to troops in combat zones. The vest, when combined with protective plates, is designed to stop a rifle round. Without the plates, the vest still should be able to provide some protection against, let's say, a 9mm pistol round. But several vests manufactured by Point Blank Body Armor of Pompano Beach, Florida, fell short of the Marine standards during testing in 2004. Fascinating email that Art and I received today from an individual soldier. I want to read it to you. It says, George and Art, I just wanted to let you guys know how much you listen and get listened to by the United States Marines overseas. I just got back from Afghanistan at the first of the year in my unit on a clear night in the mountainous regions of Afghanistan. Listen to this. Could pick up coast to coast on our field radios. It was really something to look forward to. It got us through a lot of lonely nights somewhere out there. Well, I now live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I found the show again. Thanks. And no, our thanks to you. North Korea, by the way, has accused us, the United States, of making a fuss by notifying allies of the communist nation's possible preparations for a nuclear test and maintained that it would stay away from international disarmament talks. They say the United States is making a fuss, saying that it was notifying the International Atomic Energy Agency. Both North Korea and other members of that country continue to say that they don't plan such a test. Alarmed by the retreat of its alpine glacier, a Swiss ski resort has wrapped part of the shrinking ice cap in a giant blanket in a bid to reduce the summer melt. Take a look at this on the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Stories. If successful, officials from the resort in central Switzerland expect the example to be followed elsewhere in the Alps, where scientists say glaciers are under threat from global warming. It's a thin protective layer of artificial textiles, including polyester. It's covering a 4,000 square meter yards type area. Cost $83,000 for the blanket, and it will protect one of the main glacier access ramps. That's just about it. A magnitude 6.4 earthquake shook the seabed southwest of Indonesia's Sumatra Island. No immediate reports of damage. Tremors have been a daily occurrence in that region since a monster 9.1 magnitude earthquake struck the region on December 26 and triggered a tsunami, killing hundreds of thousands of people. And as we've been reporting, the Yellowstone caldera has been classified a high threat for volcanic eruption. Yellowstone ranks 21 in the most dangerous of the 169 volcano centers in the United States. That's still pretty high. Kilauea in Hawaii received the highest overall threat score, followed by Mount St. Helens and Mount Rainier in Washington. Now, in a moment, we're going to talk with an expert on volcanoes, Dr. Robert R.B. Trumbly, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. PhD type Robert R.B. Trumbly is the founder of SWVRC and is a registered volcanologist with the International Association of Volcanology and Chemistry of the Earth's Interior. That's called IAVCEI. He is an award-winning scientist and has traveled all over the world working on volcanoes. Dr. Trumbly is also affiliated with many other associations. He is the principal designer of the highly successful software program Eruption Pro 10.5, which provides long-range forecasts of volcanic eruptions all over the world. And we want him to react this hour. And we'll take calls a little bit later on because this is an issue that a lot of you are concerned about the Yellowstone caldera and some of the other volcanoes in this country. Hello, doctor. Welcome back. How are you?
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm good.
Fine, thank you.
Good to talk with you.
And thank you for having me on the air again.
This report by the U.S. Geological Survey, is this a standard report or is there some concern here by it?
It's a new report. It was released as an assessment of volcano threats in the United States. It's called USGS Open File Report 2005-1164. And this survey, as I believe you mentioned earlier, assessed 169 active volcanoes in the United States and rated them with a numerical score based on 15 hazard and 10 exposure factors. The hazard and exposure factors were totaled to give the threat assessment in a rank order format. The authors of that document stated that it's not a formal risk assessment, which would require calculating the probabilities of particular hazards occurring at the volcanoes. I have, however, sent, just as a matter of fact, day before yesterday, I did send the USGS the actual probabilities for all those volcanoes from Eruption Pro.
Does your software echo their order, their classification?
Pretty much, yes. It was very, very much the same. We already have Kilauea and Mount St. Helens has erupted already. We have Mount Rainier at the top of the list, followed by Hood, Shasta, South Sister, Lassen, Mauna Loa, which is also listed in our restless volcanoes section. Redoubt in Alaska, Crater Lake, Baker, Glacier Peak, Musqueam, Adcutance, and Spur, which is also in our on restless volcanoes list.
I did not know that we had 169 volcano centers in the United States. That's a lot, isn't it? Alaska and Hawaii too.
So,
well, those two states alone probably have a lot compared to the continental United States. The Yellowstone caldera, Doctor, though it's been ranked 21st most dangerous, if it goes, could be one of the most dangerous of all of them.
Well, that's true. First of all, and anticipating your next question, I did see the movie Super Volcano, and I thought it was rather well done. I was particularly interested in the political aspects of it, which were quite realistic, I think. Everyone's trying to pass a buck, and nobody wants to admit anything, you know.
True.
But at any rate, yes, if Yellowstone erupted fully, it would be a catastrophe beyond all recognition here in the United States. I think in our last time I was on the air, we mentioned that the last time Yellowstone erupted was about 640,000 years ago. It covered about two-thirds of the United States with ash.
And it's about 40,000 years overdue, isn't it?
Well, if you go on the cycle, it's erupted three times, 2 million, 1.2 million, and 640,000. If you go on that roughly 700,000-year cycle, it's getting pretty close. But I can tell you right now, first of all, there's nothing really to be alarmed about because as of the 3rd of May, the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory reported that during the month of April, they only had 82 earthquakes, which were located in the Yellowstone region.
Only?
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of minor quakes going on. I was just about to say the largest of those was only a magnitude 2.4, which occurred on April 2nd. Now, anything below a 3, most people cannot feel at all.
And I've learned from you, when Mount St. Helens was starting to rumble, that all those small earthquakes under a 3 didn't mean too much, but as soon as they started getting a little larger than that, that's when there was a concern. Even you were concerned once that started.
That is correct. So it's what we call swarming. And if we have some increased magnitude quakes, I'm talking about above 3, like in the 4 or 5 and certainly 6, very similar to what we're having in the Indonesian region, as a matter of fact, and not to sidetrack too much, but they're getting an awful lot of 5s and 6 earthquakes in Indonesia.
And apparently they've been getting them every day since horrible tragedy on the 26th
of
December.
And I'll talk about that in a little while, too. But getting back to Yellowstone, right now there's no earthquakes in the last month's period that were reportedly felt at all. So we can unequivocally state that the earthquake activity in the Yellowstone region is at a relatively low background level at this time.
See, but the qualifying phrase, though, is at this time. That could change at any time, couldn't it?
That is true. That is true.
Well, now, in terms of all the volcanoes that you've looked at in the United States, Doctor, do you still believe that Mount Rainier is the potential trouble spot?
Yes.
Much more than even Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mount Rainier, as I've said before, is probably by most volcanologists will agree it is the most feared volcano in the United States. It's the most dangerous volcano in the United States today.
Now, what can you tell us about it, the last time it really erupted, and what's going on today?
Okay, I can bring that right up on the computer here for you.
All right, good. And you're still dealing with 10.5. You haven't upgraded that yet?
We update it every day.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Oh, yeah, every day it's updated. Mount Rainier last erupted in 1894. It's erupted 19 times in its history since 6800 BCE. And right now, the probability of an eruption for 2005 is 0.2157%.
That's pretty low then, right?
Pretty low, oh yeah.
All right, what about for 2006?
2006?
Have you gone out that far?
I can, yes. Let me just...
All right, and while you're doing that, what do we know about the 1894 eruption?
What do we know about it?
Yeah, I mean, what kind of damage did it do? How big was it?
I'd have to look that up in the books. I don't have that data readily available on the computer.
I wonder what the population was right around there at that time.
I don't know what it was, but anyway, it's really not doing anything at all right now, so... We're getting little minor seismic activity occasionally, which is normal. In fact, all the Cascade volcanoes at the moment, with the exception of Mount St. Helens, which has erupted, last time it erupted was March the 8th, I believe. We're getting dome growth on it. But other than that, all the rest of the volcanoes in the Cascades are at background, what we call background levels. That means the seismicity, the deformation, etc., is all at background and expected levels. There's nothing going on, nothing to be frightened about or get concerned about right now.
All right, these are volcanoes then here in the United States. What about worldwide? Is there a problem spot somewhere on this planet that could cause a problem for everybody?
Yeah, potentially, yes. In Indonesia at the moment, we've had, ever since the great tsunami of December 26, 2004. We've had, I just printed this out for the, just because I know we'd be talking about it on the show, we've had 10 volcanoes in the Indonesian region. Now that would include such places as New Britain, Sangihe Island, Indonesia proper, New Britain, Bougainville, Sulawesi. These are all in the Indonesia / Papua New Guinea area. We've had 10 volcanoes erupt since that time.
Is that unusual, RB?
A little bit high, yeah. It's and there's two. Let me just back up a second and say,
all right,
there's a couple of camps of thought, if you will, on whether there is a relationship between volcanic eruptions and major earthquakes. And those people in one camp say that they are definitely related to one another, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we will all agree that there are volcanoes associated with earthquakes, but the earthquakes that we're talking about are, when we talk about volcano earthquakes, those are have a different signature, as we call it in the business. They are caused... Those type of earthquakes are caused because magma is moving its way up through the volcano, through the crust of the earth, and so forth, and that creates its own kind of little earthquake signature, if you will. That is markedly different than an earthquake in the normal sense of the word, like a St. Andreas fault in California, where we have an absolute plate slippage.
Which is the most dangerous of the two?
Well, the slippage is generally like a St. Andreas fault slippage is generally the most catastrophic and most dangerous. But getting back to the volcano versus earthquake activity, sometimes, and the camp that I'm talking about is sometimes when they have a major earthquake, and I'm talking about a tectonic fault earthquake, like the St. Andreas Fault or the Sumatra Plate over in Indonesia that we had in December of last year, there's a camp that says those kinds of earthquakes trigger volcanic eruptions. Okay, and the other camp, which is one of the camps I'm in, says, well, that may be so, but there's not enough evidence and correlation to specifically say if you have such and such a magnitude of quake at such and such a distance from a volcano, you're going to have an eruption. I don't think we can go quite that far, in my opinion.
All right, I'm still concerned a little bit about La Palma, so let's talk a little bit about that when we come back, RB. And we'll open up the phone lines. Perhaps you have a question about what we've been talking about. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is open for you at 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. Somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, you know, from time to time on Fridays, if you've been listening to our open lines, we get a phone call from an individual called Oscar, who claims to be the son of Satan. Well, I want to read this email to you. The last call we had, he somehow had made his way through the lines into our affiliate in Bismarck, North Dakota, and was harassing one of the board ops out there. George, I just wanted you to know that Oscar has been destroyed. I live in Bismarck, North Dakota, and organized a prayer service for Oscar's destruction at my church. Rachel, by the way, happens to be the woman that he apparently possessed. Rachel attends my church and was present at the time of the service. Seven windows broke in the chapel at the time of the 20-minute intense prayer service, and the temperature dropped 25 degrees. But I don't think he will be bothering you or anyone else ever again. And that's from Michelle in Bismarck, North Dakota. Well, Friday is coming up, Michelle. We shall see. We shall see. And welcome back to Coast this hour with our guest, Dr. Robert R.B. Tremblay, and we're going to take your phone calls now. First, though, Doctor, you know, way before the tsunami even hit, you and I were talking about the possibility of tsunamis months before that.
Yes.
And one of them that we talked about was La Palma in the Canary Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And if that thing goes, we talked about the possibilities of huge tsunamis.
I mean, we have some hundreds of figures on that, by the way.
Okay, tell me, because that could hit the eastern coast of the United States,
oh,
right?
Yeah. And by the way, I got you a couple of new listeners. My friend Andy Markle and James Malachowski are first-time listeners. I know they're out there tonight, so they're listening to the show.
So now we have 10 million, too.
That's right. At any rate, by the way, speaking of La Palma, we just released a new paper, we meaning myself and my senior volcano technician, Brad Otteson. We just released a paper on May the 1st. It's available on our website. It's already been published in the United Kingdom GeoTalk Forum. It's called The Mega Tsunami Danger as a Result of the Landslide Due to an Eruption of La Palma's Cumbre Vieja Volcano Forecast and Risk Assessment. But that is available on our website. But at any rate, the current geological evidence suggests, George, that during a future of eruption of the volcano called Cumbre Vieja, which is located on the island of La Palma, that may experience a catastrophic failure of its west flank. And what will happen is it will drop anywhere from 150 to 500 cubic kilometers of rock into the sea. And this event would produce a mega tsunami, which would cover the entire Atlantic Ocean, including the east coast of the United States.
Oh, my God.
And the collapse of that western flank would generate a destructive mega tsunami, which would strike both sides of the North and South Atlantic, all the way from basically Boston down in through the Caribbean.
How far inland would that go, RB?
I was just about to say that would create a worst-case scenario. Now, the absolute worst-case scenario would create waves of up to 50 meters, which would be 164 feet high. That would be estimated for Florida and for the Caribbean islands, and more than 40 meters, or 131 feet, for the northern coast of Brazil in that area. And not as high, but destructive waves have been forecasted for the western coast of the Iberian Peninsula, France, and Britain's Atlantic coastline.
Oh, all right, but how far inland would it go?
Okay. Presumably, in certain areas, that tsunami wave would move as much as 6 to 7 kilometers, or about 3.7 to 4.4 miles inland, destroying everything in its path.
How much notice would people on the East Coast get when this thing possibly occurs?
It would be anywhere from 6 to 8 hours from the time the landslide initiated.
All right, so a lot of people can get out of the way, but it's going to be a mess because there's going to be pandemonium, right?
That's right, and without actually calling the disaster agencies, I really have to say that I fear, and I hope that I'm wrong, but I fear that a lot of these emergency places all up and down the East Coast of the United States have no idea, either have no idea or are not at all prepared for anything like that.
I was going to ask you, do we have any tsunami preparedness in place along the eastern coast of the United States?
To my knowledge, no.
Oh, my God. Okay, now, what about probability of La Palma going?
Well, right now it's very, very low. I can tell you what it is right now today.
It's a major story. So, yeah, what is it?
Yeah, Eruption Pro is working well, by the way. It's right now we've had 42 eruptions this year. We've only had two misses, and its accuracy is 95.24% as of today.
So. 90. You can't beat that. That's better than most psychics, by the way.
We're very happy with that. Well, anyway, La Palma's probability right now is 0.12% probability of an eruption this year, so it's very low.
All right. Well, but let's continue to monitor that. That could change any time, right?
Right. Or right, perhaps the better way to say it would be there's 98.7% not erupting at all.
I like that positive approach. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you all this evening?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thanks. Go ahead, hon.
My question is, when y'all were speaking of Mount Rainier earlier, one of my best friends live out there, and it's a beautiful area. Mount Rainier is just, it's so
beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the question is, if it goes, or obviously when it goes, how much time would Seattle, you know, in the area around there have to make a move to get out of the way, so to speak?
Well, that's an excellent question. And in the most of the Cascade volcanoes, in fact, all of them that I know of, have a lot of what we call precursor warnings. That means that we start getting seismic activity, it'll start putting out a little ash and smoke. It's not just like it's boom, you know, and that's it. It has a lot of what we call precursor warnings. So in that case, as when Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980, albeit that we lost 57 people on that, there was substantial evacuation of the area, and consequently hundreds and hundreds of lives were saved and so forth. The people that did die were basically people who either had no idea what was going on or refused to leave. So to answer your question, there would probably be enough time to evacuate comfortably and safely and so forth if that was to occur.
Now's the time for them to start putting in some kind of early warning system, don't you think?
They already have. That area up there is already very prone.
So that's protected then?
Yes, yes. I would say pretty much. In fact, we were talking about the U.S. GS paper.
Yes.
A little while ago, one of the things that that's trying to do is to get more funding and so forth for monitoring stations and more monitoring equipment and so on. But unfortunately, the USGS, like all the other government agencies, you know, they get cut here and cut there, and something has to go. Nobody cares, you know, until it's too late.
And then it's too late. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Good evening, George. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, sir. And where might you be?
This is Jim Pong from Wichita, Kansas.
All right, go ahead, Jim.
Good evening, Doctor. I have a question for you. I've heard experts talk about the New Madrid fault line that runs through Missouri down through Arkansas.
Yes.
And on up, I guess, up towards even like Chicago and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard them say that if that lets go, that that could be even more catastrophic than a major quake out on the West Coast along the San Andreas, because that could cause some major surges in the Mississippi and major flooding and destruction. I'd like to get your reflection on that as to what you think could happen if that goes and what's the probability of that erupting.
Well, I'll answer the last part first. The probability of that, it doesn't erupt, by the way, it would slip.
I mean quaking.
That was a bad
choice of words.
That's okay. I'm just giving you a hard time. Anyway, there's a very low probability that would happen. In fact, the largest earthquake in the United States, as I recall, happened in Missouri there, but it happened way before there was inhabited and so forth. I forget what magnitude it was.
But it changed the direction of the Mississippi, didn't
yeah.
it? It was so big.
Yeah. But, the answer is yes, it's possible, but highly improbable that it would occur. The reason is because it's not as active. Like the St. Andreas Fault is a tectonic plate boundary, and we know that that is in constant motion, if you will. It's only a couple of inches a year, maybe, but nevertheless, it's in constant motion. The fault that you're talking about may be in motion, but it's not constant. It would a rupture or slip only after long periods of time.
RB, should anybody be concerned about Kilauea and the fact that it's the highest threat? I mean, what could happen?
It's already erupting.
Well, I know, but what could happen to Hawaii if it really got out of control?
It won't get out of control. It's a shield volcano, a hotspot volcano. And it never goes. We have a volcano eruption index of 0 to 8.
Well, so why is the U.S. Geological Survey rating it the highest overall threat if nothing major is going to happen?
Well, because it's a threat for an eruption.
Oh, okay, not necessarily for the tragedy that may come with it.
It doesn't mean a threat, meaning for catastrophic disaster and stuff like that. It's a threat for eruption.
All right, very good. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ohio. I live in Michigan. The question that I had to the doctor was, what effect would this lymphoma have on the Great Lakes region, with the Great Lakes?
It wouldn't have any effect at all because the Great. I used to live in Michigan, too, so I know exactly where you're at and so forth. It wouldn't have any effect on it whatsoever.
Okay, thank
you
very much.
Too far inland.
Very good. I used to live in Michigan as well, west
of
the Rockies.
You're from Wyandotte, aren't you, George?
No, Detroit.
I said Wyandotte, right?
Well, Wyandotte's way a suburb, but no, I never lived down that way.
Oh, okay. I thought you were Wyandotte. Okay.
Let's go west of the Rockies line. Where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi.
Tony, I'm in Wapato, Washington State, and I love your program, George. And I just wanted to ask the doctor about the South Sister. I heard him mention it in Oregon, and the reason is because as a child I had a couple of volcano dreams that were really vivid, and I've remembered them all these years. I'm 50 years old now, and one was there was a hillside behind our house, and it began erupting. And three lovely brunettes in emerald green gowns slowly paced down the hillside. And years later, I didn't know about the three sisters then, and so I thought, well, this is about the three sisters. So I'm curious about the South Sister.
Geez, I want to move there right now.
Oh, yeah, right.
The South Sister Island and the North Sister is pretty much... stable right now. There's no activity or very, very minor activity under all of those cascade volcanoes right now, with the exception of Mount St. Helens currently. So there's no problem with those whatsoever.
If you had to categorize the greatest threat to us in terms of lives and property, what area would that be? Again, would you go back to Mount Rainier as the problem?
Mount Rainier.
You're not going to back down on that one, are you?
No.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. This is Chris from McAllen, Texas.
Hey, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I want to tell you thanks. First of all, I'm a Border Patrol agent. I really appreciated that show last night, and just want to let you know that a lot of us listen to you on the night shift.
All right. Thank you.
Also, I was wanting to ask the guest, if I was on a ship directly above the tectonic movement that occurred on December 26th in 04 last year,
mm-hmm.
What would happen? Would it be a whirlpool effect? Would it be nothing? Would it be a tremor? What would we feel?
You wouldn't feel anything. In fact, when you're out to sea and an earthquake occurs and causes a tsunami, be it a regular tsunami or even a mega tsunami, the December 26th was not a mega tsunami. It was just a regular tsunami. It was a big one, but it was a regular tsunami. You wouldn't feel anything at all. Because the ship is part of the sea, and the wave goes right underneath it.
About how far away from where it actually occurs does the wave start?
Where you really can see it, RB. You know, and realize we got a problem here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I see what you mean. It depends on basically how far out the shelf is from the beaches and so forth. What you'd see... Basically is what we call a drawback. You'd see like all the tide would go completely out. All the water would start going back into the sea, and then it would come crashing in after that.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay,
now let me just add that would be a regular tsunami. A mega tsunami where the wavelength, which is the distance between from one crest to another, on a regular tsunami, those are tens of meters. In a mega tsunami, it is hundreds of kilometers in cases, and it would just wipe over the land in one fell swoop without crashing at all.
Now, is that what you would call the La Palma one if that goes?
Yes.
That would be a mega.
Yes, that would be a mega tsunami.
Now, what are the odds if that volcano erupts the way you thought it would? What are the odds of a tsunami occurring? What's the probability of that?
Oh, it's a very high. If we drop 500 cubic kilometers of earth into the sea, it'll cause a mega tsunami, no question at all.
Okay, let's go to our couple more calls, and then that'll be it this hour. First-time caller line, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, this is Dwayne in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Hi, Dwayne. Thanks for calling in. It's all yours.
I just wanted to ask the doctor, there's a hot spot in the Earth's crust west of Salt Lake City in the Humboldt region of Nevada there. Is there any danger of that doing any activity?
Not really, because the main hot spot is under Yellowstone at this time. That whole area through that whole, all the way from basically craters of the moon, Idaho, and so forth, up through Wyoming and all like that. That's all basically the same hot spot.
Okay. I was looking on a map here of the U.S. one time, one that had, a typographical map where you can actually see part of that last eruption just east of Yellowstone,
mm-hmm.
the outline of it, I noticed.
Yep.
But anyway, thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate you being on the program. And our last caller, east of the Rockies, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Dave, calling from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi,
I have a question for the doctor. Is there a fault line that lies along the Ohio River?
Well, you got me on that. I'd have to look at a chart to see that. I don't know. I think there is, because I remember there was an earthquake in Lake Erie that had its epicenter not too far from Toledo in Lake Erie. Oh, that was back in 90, even before that. I forget.
I would guess that would have to be part of the New Madrid, or at least some kind of tributary of it, don't you?
Yes. I'd have to look at a tectonic map to see that. So
you've got this phenomenal software, Eruption Pro 10.5. What are some people in this country, other scientists and geologists, what do they say to you, Robert? I mean, do they sit back and say, this is great material, we're going to be ready, we're going to set up warning systems? Or is this just something that you and a few members of your group have, and it's an incredible piece of software? I mean, what more can we do to help get the word out about this?
Well, it's used by several major agencies throughout the world. If you go on our website, there's a list of major users on there already. But anyway, to answer your question, there's a lot of people that recognize the software and what it does. And I'm never really asked how many lives does this save, because we don't know that, you know. All we can do is say, here's the forecast, and that's what we do each year, George. At the beginning of the year, the forecast for the year goes out, and it's updated, as I said, almost daily. And
it seems every time we bring you on the show, Doctor, something happens. So let's knock on wood here and hope that nothing does. Keep in touch with us, okay?
I sure will. Thanks a lot for having us on the show, George.
Okay, and his website, of course, is www.swvrc.org. SWV is in victory, RC.org. Linked up with his name right now on coasttocoastam.com. In a moment, investigative mythologist William Henry joins me, and then an hour after that, we'll be joined, the both of us, with historian, of course, Lawrence Gardner, right here on Coast to Coast AM.